Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Senators in southeastern Pennsylvania have again introduced a homosexual special rights bill, which would add sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression to the Pennsylvania Human Relations Act. This is a repeat of past efforts by homosexual activists and their allies during the past decade or more. One thing is that they are relentless in their efforts to get special protections extended to them simply because of their behavior or because of who they think they are. Few people realize the definition of sexual orientation, which is included in these bills, is not all encompassing of sexual orientations which are recognized. So, when a bill defines sexual orientation as these bills do, as homosexuality, bisexuality, heterosexuality, that could change in the future if this bill does become law. The gender identity component is even more confusing to people. What is gender identity, and how many people does this affect in the United States? To help us understand this aspect of these type bills, my guest today is Dr. Ruth Jacobs of Maryland Citizens for Responsible Government, located or headquartered in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Thanks, Dr. Jacobs, for being with us.
Oh, I'm delighted to be on your show.
Now, what spurred you to become involved in the fight there in Maryland?
We had become active in the schools and could see the devastating effect of this translation of your gender from what your sex is to what your identity is for this on the kids. In Montgomery County Public Schools, the children are first told that if they do anything that most of their people who are not of their sex are doing, they're transgender. And then they're told, just like cross-dressers change their clothes, transsexuals change their bodies to match the way they feel. Somewhat with the implication that, if you're a tomboy, no problem, just change your gender.
So the school's actually encouraging sex reassignment surgery through what they're telling the kids.
In my opinion, my concern is that is what the message would be, because there is no information at all given about the dangers of hormone therapy. And you know that this is a big disconnect, because what's the first thing that they do when a baseball player takes androgenic steroids? They kick him out. It's terrible.
Exactly.
They have articles about how they're prone to commit suicide, and it's dangerous. But if for something that's on an alternative lifestyle agenda, it is just the best thing since sliced bread for these kids. You know, of course people take estrogen, which can cause strokes and blood clots. Of course, they take testosterone, which can cause them to commit more criminal acts.
Exactly.
And suicide.
Right. And I just read where, it was in Australia, where there's going to be a 10-year-old boy get a sex change operation.
And this is criminal.
Yeah.
That's criminal, in my opinion.
Can 10-year-olds even make informed consent, give informed consent to have such a radical surgery?
Yeah, I would predict that in about 14 years he'll be suing his parents and the people that did the surgery.
Yeah, that's my thought. You're saying 14 years when he's in the mid-20s, it's going to hit him like, what did I do? What did my parents do to me?
Right.
And there will be lawsuits.
The sad part about that is about 80% of the individuals who are suffering from gender identity disorder, which is not gender envy, it's not being a tomboy, it's not being feminine, you know, it's serious, pervasive problem. But people who are really suffering from that problem, 80% of them, with the proper help, can get out of that problem. And the one thing that people deep six about this, I as a physician, is, and people, I think, get confused because they see the gender camouflage.
Mm-hmm.
They see the person come out on the Oprah show and say, I'm changed. But, you know, if this person did not have the breast implants, if this person was not taking the estrogen and so on and so forth, they would revert back to where they really are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that annoys me is, For some things, they'll say, oh, no, your identity doesn't change. But for this, they, oh, yes, of course your identity changes.
Yeah.
And it's very, very scary because if an earthquake happened or something and they did not have access to the estrogen and so on and so forth, they would be in trouble. Whereas a person who really is a woman, you know, earthquake happens, she still produces estrogen.
You know, what concerns me is, you mentioned Oprah. You know, she's had in the past little kids, I think most times it's been a little boy, who is diagnosed as or told that he's a transgender. Oprah has a habit of highlighting cases like that. And that's very disturbing. Plus, we have high-profile individuals like Sonny Bono's daughter, who's now supposedly a man. And these high-profile individuals are being spotlighted. You know, the camera, the entertainment industry has spotlighted these individuals, making it appear normal. But then you're saying that it's very dangerous. What they're doing is very dangerous. But in actually 80%, you said, of those diagnosed with gender identity disorder can actually overcome
As children.
If this is happening with them to children, okay.
They can be gotten out of it, and they're totally ignoring the risks. And this is what was very interesting. There's a well-conducted study out of Sweden with 324 individuals, and they have shown that people who actually do the, quote, transitioning to the opposite sex. Now, remember, this is gender camouflage. You are not the opposite sex. You have altered your body, and you're taking steroid injections,
which has
surgical risks. I mean, if you go get surgery on your knee, you're going to get a long list of all the possible complications, and there are lots of complications that can happen.
I like that gender camouflage.
Yeah.
That's the first time I heard that term, but that's excellent. That's an excellent term.
But so what they have shown, and the surgery can cost between $30,000 for a man who wants to become a woman or $100,000 for a woman that wants to become a man. The surgery side effects can include loss of sexual function, incontinence, other devastating problems. The hormone replacement can cause the strokes and blood clots. And this study showed that these individuals were more likely to die. They were more likely to commit suicide, and they were more likely to need psychiatric care.
So they're more likely to die as a result of the surgery itself or through suicide?
The suicide risk really particularly increased.
Okay.
And the overall mortality was higher during follow-up than controls, particularly death from suicide.
And it's interesting
because Mark Penner, who's the Los Angeles Times sports writer, who transitioned to, I believe, Christine.
Yeah, I think I read something about him.
And then he transitioned back within a year. And the sports writers, the Los Angeles Times, did everything they could do to support him. But if these people actually knew that what they're doing is actually increasing their likelihood of dying, increasing their likelihood of needing psychiatric care, I can only think that, you know, they have cut the tether that ties them to reality when they do this, and possibly when they do it, and this is just my thoughts, this is nothing, but possibly when they do it, they realize that this didn't solve their problems, and so they don't have this hope, oh, if I could just afford the transitioning surgery, all my problems would be solved.
Yeah, they come to the realization that they spent all this money, and they've changed their outward appearance. But they still encounter
whatever dysphoria they have.
Right.
It doesn't solve their problem.
It doesn't fix it. And that goes right along with back in 2004, Dr. Paul McHugh, John Hopkins in Baltimore, he said that we in the John Hopkins psychiatry department eventually concluded that human sexual identity is mostly built into our constitution by the genes we inherit and the embryogenesis we undergo. Quite clearly, then, as psychiatrists, we should work to discourage those adults who seek surgical sex reassignment. Well, that was profound. And then this Swedish study you talked about, that actually was a long-term study, I believe, from like 1973 to 2003.
Yes. And, you know, I think it's very interesting because, you know, I just wonder if people would take off on this. To me, the natural conclusion is that the doctors who are doing this type of stuff could end up being held liable for wrongful death and for irresponsibility if they ignore this type of...
Right, and psychiatric problems. At least their psychiatric problems are not solved. the vast majority of these individuals, they still have the same psychiatric problems. And
they need more care,
rather than deal with the problem the way that they should and address the problem the way that they should and just try to camouflage the individual's problem through sex reassignment surgery.
I think it's tragic. The way they're getting off on this in the popular press is just kind of this misunderstanding, you know, this sensation that they have made this change and they're now actually the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of funny because it ends up making us females actually defend this is my gender.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
There is an interesting book, Gender Matters,
right,
by Leonard Saxon.
Mm-hmm.
He's not necessarily totally on the same page, but he makes some very powerful...
I watched that YouTube video. There's a YouTube video up there.
He yes.
does make powerful arguments that we are who... and this is just a very rough layman's paraphrase, but we are who we're born, and that's very much... that can't be changed. He's noting that the differences between boys and girls from day one, and how a girl will zero in on the mom, and the boy will zero in on the movement, the mobile that may be moving over the crib or something. He'll zero in on that.
Right. If you put a baby at day one in a little bed and put a mobile on the right-hand side and put a mom or a face on mm-hmm. the left-hand side, the baby that is a male will look at the moving mobile, and the female child will look at the face. I think people have so much said, oh, it's just our environment.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving these girls dolls. We're giving the boys trucks. And he shows how the retinas in men are twice as thick and have much greater capacity to see movement. And these are just a small part of the real differences. You know, of course, in our thing, we were very concerned about men in the bathrooms.
Exactly.
Because this a male asserting a female identity would want to go into the female bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And
that would be even before sex reassignment surgery in some cases.
Even before. But
yeah.
First we were kind of like, when we started out this, we were like, well, you know, maybe once they've had sex reassignment surgery. But there's a individual who's a highly regarded scientist and member of the editorial board of a world's leading journal of sexual research,
mm-hmm.
Archives of Sexual Behavior,
mm-hmm.
who in 2009 was cited in the New York Times. And they say, when chippers included male to female transsexuals, so a male who wants to look like a female, as subjects in one of her series of experiments, the trans woman, which is a man saying he's a woman, both those who are heterosexual and homosexual, responded like men. So here you're letting a man who wants to dress like a woman, even change his body to look
mm-hmm.
like a woman, but he's going to respond sexually like the person he is.
Right, because the gene...
Which is a man, and
right.
you've got him in your bathroom.
Right, and
if you complain, you're a bigot under these laws.
Exactly, and that's where it's coming to, because really, I mean, they can change the outward appearance, they can chop things off and add things, body parts, but that does not change the inner workings. It doesn't change the genes of the individual. Or the chromosomes of the individual. That doesn't change. Am I right on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's where it's scary.
Right.
It's very scary. It's really like the emperor's new clothes, and your government
is
wants to impose it on you.
Absolutely.
And we found in Montgomery County a huge problem with something as simple as pronouns.
As pronouns, okay.
Right. And so we actually ran a referendum on the gender identity law that they passed in Montgomery County,
mm-hmm.
and it was opposed by Dana Beyer. And we even have a video of Dana Beyer coming to our collection areas and saying our signatures would be illegal and would not count. And the ethics law says that a county employee, which she was, she's a male asserting female identity, cannot intimidate or harass people to interfere with their political freedom.
And this individual is actually there intimidating, saying that you are wasting your time because these signatures would be invalid.
Right, and we had bunches of stuff, and they ignored everything. They focused in on one incident, and then we had two people that they allowed to testify And because of their pronoun usage, they asked one person, who do you think Dana Byer is? And the person said, he, she, I don't know, which is something of a very reasonable answer
right.
for when you're talking about a man who has fathered two children and then undergone cosmetic surgery.
Right.
And they said that he was so palpably disdainful that his testimony could not be included. And then
because he used the wrong pronoun or was wondering which pronoun he could use during testimony.
Right, right.
Okay.
And then we had a African-American manager who also had a recorded testimony and an affidavit, and he used the word shim, which is an African-American colloquialism that is, as far as we could tell, is used to reflect the confusion that exists, especially about this time, it was 2007.
And the natural confusion that would exist.
Natural confusion.
Yeah.
And they threw his testimony out as well.
Because
on the basis of the use of this pronoun.
Oh, my. Even though that was a common colloquialism within the African-American community at that time. It still
as far as we can tell.
Right.
You know, we were hesitant about his pronoun, but this was what he wanted to use.
Right, and it was his testimony.
And so we concluded that under this thing, we would have had to have lied in order for our testimony to have been accepted as the truth.
So your testimony, which you give under oath, I'm assuming, you would have had to have lied in your testimony as far as using an improper pronoun to identify this Montgomery County official.
Yes, and that's where you know, the longer we work with the law, the more we kind of realize that the concept is really redefining gender, and we're beginning to say it's okay for you to try to redefine your gender. But don't try to redefine gender for all of the rest of us.
Yeah, and one thing is in the, I guess it's a magazine, Gender Queer.
Yeah.
There were several quotes that actually the U.S. sent me, but this shows exactly where their head is. One of the quotes is, gender is the new frontier, the place to rebel, to create new individuality and uniqueness, to defy old, tired, outdated social norms, and occasionally drive their parents and sundry other authority figures crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And that was Ricky Wilkins. And the other quote is, gender is primarily a system of symbols and meanings, and the rules, privileges, and punishments pertaining to their use for power and sexuality, it will be about the rights of some of us not to be men or women. So they're even saying, you know, we're not going to be either one. We're going to pick our own sex, and we're not going to be either a man or a woman. We're going to be whatever we choose to be.
Yeah, and it's very interesting. There's a new lawsuit in New York, and it's maybe a little explicit, but it was a job description where it would involve watching drug samples be collected.
Mm-hmm.
And because this was a kind of a private issue to watch these samples of urine be collected for the drug,
mm-hmm.
they had an established that it, only a man could have this job, that it was a job requirement.
Right, okay.
So then there is a female claiming a male identity that wants that job.
So it's a female who actually is saying she's a man.
And she wants to have this job that's restricted to men because of the sensitive nature.
And she's saying she's a man, so I need the job.
Yeah, and if you exclude me from that job, obviously.
I'll sue you.
You're obviously, you know, that bigot
it's
word.
You're being discriminatory and you're a bigot. Mm-hmm. And transphobe, that's the newest thing. You're a transphobe.
But I think when you see the stuff that how even at day one, men mm-hmm. and women respond differently.
There's the inborn difference right there.
Inborn differences.
From birth.
From the time of birth.
Mm-hmm.
Then you see where sticking to reality, and this is where they're collaborating with insanity,
mm-hmm.
Dr. McHugh's statement, is when the government starts to begin imposing something that is not accepting reality, then it actually is punishing its own citizens for wanting to believe in the truth
mm-hmm.
and wanting to just be in the world of the sane.
That's a good point. Yeah, and one point it's actually in the American Psychiatric Association Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the DSM-IV, where it actually said, this is relating to a business who may, you know, they may not want to hire someone with gender identity disorder. And the DSM-4 says, in adolescents and adults, preoccupation with cross-gender wishes often interferes with ordinary activities. Relationship difficulties are common, and functioning at school or at work may be impaired. And that's a quote from the DSM-4. Yet, such as on the federal level, and recently in Maryland, where in Maryland it was voted down, or it was brought to a standstill to add gender identity or to include gender identity in a law. And on the federal level, they have, Barney Frank just has introduced the Trans Inclusive Employment Non-Discrimination Act and would require businesses to hire these gender-confused individuals.
It's very somewhat scary. The Sweden study said that male to female transgenders were actually more likely to commit criminal acts. In Boston, they had a trolley driver who was a female-to-male transgender who was texting his girlfriend and caused like a $9 million accident and people...
But that the news part of him being transgender didn't make the news. I mean, the mainstream media failed to include that little bit of information there. Or very few covered that.
Very few covered it. It was actually covered a little bit. At least one person, you know, questioned whether or not the hormones that they were taking could have interfered.
Oh, okay.
Could have helped cause the accident.
With his ability to concentrate or actually to do the job right.
Yes, I do think that that little statement by the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual that saying that people have impaired relationships. Yeah. And that's one thing that, as I've listened to this and so on, it is very sad for these people. And it's been sad for me to see that they're so focused in on this that even these individuals that have been married are just willing to break up their families to pursue this.
To them, a dream.
This image of a woman, which is really a caricature of a woman. And, I mean, I think you have to, I'm not quite sure how to say it, but somebody who is so focused in on this that they will not maintain the vital relationships in their life, you know, you have to wonder how good of an employee they're going to be.
Exactly.
Because they're going to be just as focused in on that image that it's going to be more important to them certainly than their employer because it was already more important to them than their family.
Right, where they're trying to maintain this image. Now, if folks wanted to contact you or more information about this, how could they do that?
Well, our website is www.notmyshower.com.
Catchy name.
Yeah, and we do have an email at crgmaryland@yahoo.com.
Okay, yahoo.com. And I encourage folks to go to the website, notmyshower.com, because I know you have some stories up there, especially if there's situations in local communities or a state level that are trying to push these type laws. People need to go to that notmyshower.com website, get some stories as to the dangers of these type laws.
Right, and if they contact us through us, we have a lot of stuff, unfortunately, kind of being a citizen activist of we have
hold down a job and try to sit right.
We've opposed this bill for two or three years and actually been successful, and so we have an immense amount of information up there. Some of this more recent information is not up there, but we would be more than happy to send it to people by email if they contact us
directly.
And
that's crgmaryland@yahoo.com is the email. Okay. Thanks, Dr. Jacobs. I appreciate it, and I appreciate your citizen activism because you're an encouragement to all of us.
Well, and we appreciate hearing everyone work on it. We all have a role to play. It's all part of us. We cannot, as citizens, sit back and relax if we can only donate money to people that are working, but I think every one of us as citizens must be doing something.
Absolutely, I agree, and I encourage folks to check out your website, notmyshower.com. Okay, take care.
Thank you so much, and you have a blessed day.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye.
All right.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323, or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFA of PA.